Hare Krishna. As I'd already mentioned yesterday, GBC spent their day discussing the Vaishnavi Diksha Guru topic, and because it's confidential, therefore I'm not free to speak about what was discussed there or who said what, but I will speak about my own thoughts to date up till yesterday, and begin by also commending the GBC, how wonderful I think it is that for the first time, at least as far as I've been involved in the GBC, which is 35 years, spending three full days in discussing a philosophical issue that's already been well digested, well exchanged. It really is what spiritual leadership is about. Whether the outcome is going to satisfy everyone is, on such a controversial topic, highly doubtful. But I think it will be the right decision, at least at present, whatever that decision is. And I'm not going to say anything further about that, but in my readings of many devotees, references, papers, and there's a lot, indeed, the GBC received many hundreds of pages of Prabhupada's quotes, references, devotees' writings, and so on, as sort of a background for their decision making. It's been very clear to me that in our Gaudiya line, and I'm not really interested in what goes on in other lines, but in our Gaudiya line, women have acted as Diksha Gurus. But it's been rare, or in Prabhupada's words, not so many. And so it's not really the question of whether they should or shouldn't for me, but the question is, why is it not so many? Why is it that it appears from both tradition as well as Srila Prabhupada's statement that not as many women become Diksha Gurus as men are? And when it comes to the principle of spiritual equality, I don't want to even argue that women may be in our line, Kibavitra, Kibanyas, Shudra, Kenuvo, can be equally spiritually qualified and have the same spiritual opportunities. What other criteria is it that makes women not so many? Because it seems like there are. Is it just the natural tendency that women will not necessarily step in that role of Diksha Guru? As for instance, we only have 2 out of 30 GBCs who are Vaishnavis. Not so many, because they'll be more inclined to remain family-centered, to be involved in the spiritual growth of their families, and that will be satisfying for them. They won't hear the calling, and their role as gurus, but more in the capacity of shiksha gurus, of diksha gurus, shiksha gurus. No, that's what I wanted to say, shiksha gurus. There are also other social criteria, and as I just mentioned, I don't believe that some other spiritual criteria is absolutely necessary, because to start discriminating among devotees how spiritually advanced they are doesn't seem to be a fortunate method of approach. It's not what we do for men. We give general criteria, but we don't analyze, is this person on a transcendental platform, is he on the platform of Nishta or Sakti or Ruchi. Generally, the criteria that are given seems to, the basic criteria seems to reflect someone who's on the platform of Nishta Bhajanakriya. They are steady in devotional service and have a good record, track record. I'm not going to repeat all the criteria. They're there. They're quite lengthy. So if women have that, that's, I think, all that's required. But there are other social considerations that don't apply in the same way to men. One example, for instance, is that Srila Prabhupada says that women should always be protected, either under the protection of father or husband or elder son. So, and that is not something that's a requirement for men. In fact, for sannyasis should leave the association. Their requirement is to leave family association. So whereas for women, family connection remains a must, for men it isn't. And this is one of, I believe, other social requirements that are, and perhaps there are some which are also guna or nature, the requirements of women's nature that are in addition to the requirements for men being diksha guru. But there's another criteria which for me is a little more overriding even than that. Alright, we make the criteria of women being diksha guru more stringent than that for men, and that sort of fulfills the Srila Prabhupada's requirement. Well, not many, not so many. And that is that, aside from one letter in which Srila Prabhupada wrote in the very early years to a disciple, and it wasn't meant to be, the letter itself was not a general instruction to the society, but it was a personal letter, wherein Prabhupada said that perhaps by 1975, our disciples, boys and girls, will be able to initiate, and there Prabhupada clearly says initiate. He gives a criteria, and that is that they should have Bhakti Vedanta education, examination requirement. Now, one thing that didn't happen when Srila Prabhupada finally did start assigning the responsibility of Diksha Guru to his disciples for the future, and is that Prabhupada didn't make any mention of their having to have Bhaktivedanta. And the other thing which Prabhupada didn't do, is that he didn't make any statement about women acting in the capacity of gurus. And although Prabhupada named the first 11 devotees to act in the capacity of Diksha Guru, he didn't name any women. Why not? And talking about the future, although he said the GBC can decide, but once again, Srila Prabhupada made no explicit statement. And aside from that one letter, in his books and other circulars, general instructions to the society, Prabhupada did not make any statement that ladies can act as Diksha Guru. Now, of course, there's one very strong argument that comes up in regards to this, and that is that Srila Prabhupada wrote hundreds of times, if not even more, that anyone who knows the science of Krishna can act in the capacity of guru. However, Srila Prabhupada didn't state that they can act in the capacity of Diksha Guru, but he just used the word guru generally, which means Shiksha and Diksha Guru. And so the question remains, did Srila Prabhupada really mean Diksha Guru as well? Because Prabhupada tends to make a distinction between Diksha and Shiksha Gurus. And he points out that not only he makes this distinction, but this is the law of the disciplic succession. And what is that distinction? Well, Prabhupada says that a Diksha Guru, someone, a disciple, cannot act as a Diksha Guru in the physical presence of his own Diksha Guru. He has to wait until that Diksha Guru has left the planet. Certainly, we did not have that criteria to act in the capacity of Shiksha Guru. Srila Prabhupada encouraged everyone to preach and to give Krishna consciousness to others. And that is what we did in Srila Prabhupada's time. So here, I make the argument that there is a difference in how one becomes a Diksha Guru than a Shiksha Guru. Prabhupada says it's in when the Diksha Guru leaves the world and when he gives the order to his disciples. And this criteria does not apply to Shiksha Gurus, but rather anyone and everyone can become and should become a Shiksha Guru. A further difference is something which I've cited in my Shiksha Guru book, and that is comes from a book which was authorized by Lord Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, by one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, Professor Sanyal, who writes that the Diksha Guru is the counterhold of Lord Krishna and the Shiksha Guru is the counterpart of the Diksha Guru. And in those words, counterhold, counterpart, there is quite a bit of significance to this connection. So anyway, these are the thoughts, but once again, for me, the overriding thought is, can we really be doing something that Srila Prabhupada did not personally do, did not give the order, such and such, Devi Dasi should also act as Diksha Guru, something that Srila Prabhupada didn't write about extensively, explicitly in his books. Is the GBC ready to make that type of decision? This is a topic that concerns me and which has got me thinking. Hare Krishna.